Spring blossoms forth in the valley. That's what inspired Schumann's Symphony No. 1, Kurt Mazurl at the London Philharmonic.
You are listening to WHFR Dearborn, broadcasting out of Henry Ford Community College, and thank you for tuning in to this beautiful classical programming. We appreciate your continued support of WHFR, and if you would like to learn more about some of the events and activities going on through our radio station, our public non-commercial radio station, we would love to put you on our WHFR loyal listener mailing list. It is free of charge, and it's a bi-monthly publication that gives you the latest of places we're going to be, different show changes, schedule of events, that kind of thing. Simply give me a call, Susan McGraw, WHFR General Manager, 313-845-9842. That's 313-845-9842. Just as simple as that. Wouldn't you like to become a WHFR loyal listener? Well, you probably already are, but now let's make it official with the WHFR free loyal listener mailing list.
Good morning, this is WHFR Dearborn. You're listening to Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway. And as the name of the show implies, we will be speaking about all things metaphysical for the next hour. Today, my special guest is Heather Williams. She is a certified hypnotist. And to begin with, we will talk about past life regression. But first of all, I just would like to say good morning, Heather. How are you? And thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Well, you're welcome. And like I said, first of all, we're going to talk about past life regression. And what is past life regression?
Well, past life regression is the totality of your past experience, including the pre-existence and past lifetimes, as well as your existence between lifetimes. And Joseph Slate says that in a book called Beyond Reincarnation.
Okay, and how long have you been doing this?
I have been certified since 2005. I got my certification at Clinical Hypnosis Institute, which is, they use the facility out in Farmington, the Wayne State University campus, and it is a 8-month program where you go every other Saturday. And what we would do is we would go over the material in the morning generally, and then in the afternoon we would do like hands-on experience, practicums using what we just were taught, and we would go over the material and just it's amazing what the things that come up and the things that we learn.
Mm-hmm. And how did you get interested in doing this?
Well, it's funny because prior to about, I think about 5 years prior to, I was reading Sylvia Brown's Past Lives, Future Healing. Now, with that book, I just was fascinated by it. I think I read it all, on the same day. And actually, at the time, a friend of mine was over, and I was like, let me see if I can do this. And what had happened is I just kind of practiced. I mean, nothing happened or anything like that. But it was just, I got so into it. And then about 5 years later, I ended up still being really, really interested in it, and signed up for the course, and then just, got my certification.
Mm-hmm. You just took it one step at a time.
I did. I at one point in my life, I just took out probably as many books from the library that I could on various metaphysical subjects. A lot of them were hypnosis books, and just, found my area of interest and just, kept going.
Mm-hmm. And how many times have you done this now, I mean, with other people?
Oh, I don't know. I lost count.
Is that good or bad?
No, it's good. It's good. You know, I would just, you know, even before I got my certification, once I learned how to do the past life regression in the class house, I would call up my friends and say, hey, you know, come on over. Let me practice on you what I've learned. And, you know, most of them were into the metaphysical. So they're like, okay. So it was amazing, some of the things that we uncovered. And because I had had the training up to that point, I was okay with, you know, helping them through it. Because you end up therapeutically, sometimes things come up, you end up helping them get through things, and in addition to doing the regression.
Right. Now, how did you get certified?
Well, I took the courses through the Clinical Hypnosis Institute, Cheryl Bishotta and Frank Garfield's courses, and there's three modules, and after each module, we all received a certification that, you know, we were certified, and then by the last module, we took a test, and it was basically it's just kind of a hands-on. It makes you think, you know, okay, how do I, you know, answer this question, and, you know, it's what did I learn in my, you know, course. So basically, once we were, you know, we passed the test, we were certified.
Mm-hmm. So you have a certificate to show for it?
I do. And in addition to that, I took a couple of the other courses that they offered. I took one on easy and comfortable childbirth, which was a 2-day course. And I also took anxiety, fears, and phobias. And there's many, many, many courses that that you can take. Those are just the ones that I had a specific interest in at the time.
Mm-hmm. Now, getting back with working with your friends, you said that some of them might have had, I don't know, maybe a traumatic reaction, and you worked through them with that. Was that difficult to do?
No, I actually, with the hypnosis, it's almost like it came natural to me. Like maybe in another lifetime, I, you know, worked through some of these things with people. But I was able to help them work through it fairly easily, because of the training I received and just being able to kind of think on your feet. It's like, okay, this person is traumatized. They went into another lifetime I'll give you an example. I had one girl, I was like, okay, we're going to go to a happy place. Well, the first time you go to she never had a past life. The first time you go to a past life experience is the one with the most emotional charge. And what had happened is she was isolated from her village, and she was crying, and it was very, very, very traumatic. But afterwards, with the right questions you ask somebody afterwards, they have a better perspective of why it happened. You help them heal. Sometimes you might do what we call like inner child healing. You know, we help them through that traumatic event, and they're able to release it a lot of times. Sometimes they're not, and that's just where they're at. But if you can even release like a little bit of it, you can help them clear that out of their cellular memory. And it's just amazing some of the things that people's lives can really change.
Mm-hmm. Well, you mentioned village. What kind of time frame are we talking about there?
Oh, gosh. I want to say, did she give me a date? It was like AD. I don't remember the date, mm-hmm. but it was mud. I mean, it was just very, very basic.
Right, primitive.
Very primitive, yes.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, also sometimes people can also determine what it was they were supposed to learn that lifetime, right?
Yes. It depends. It's kind of like when you're doing a past life, you're wearing a blindfold, and they're, you know, you're just asking them non-leading questions, very open-ended questions to get them, you know, to see these things. So if you can ask the right questions, you can really, really uncover some interesting things.
Mm-hmm. Right. Again, you want to be careful because you don't want people getting too upset, correct?
Right. But you know what? Even if they get upset, you can actually help them through that if you're trained the right way. You can really help them. Like you can say to them, if those tears could speak, what would they say? If mm-hmm. they're, you know, maybe sometimes people aren't talking and they're just, you know, having this, you know, horrible experience. But it's good to get that out of your cellular memory. So being that it's an ab reaction, you want to help them get through that and get that out of their cellular memory. So even if they do have a bad reaction, that's okay.
Mm-hmm. Again, sometimes can't you actually lift that person out of the body that time and they can observe it as a neutral observer?
Yeah, depending on if you are giving them that as a suggestion. If they have, I know in one of the scripts I use, if they're having an unpleasant experience, they can go back to their cloud and they can, you know, observe it from that point.
Mm-hmm. That's like their happy place in mm-hmm. essence?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Now, you think that by going over and covering some of the past lives that people have had, that helps them in the present lifetime?
Oh, yes. It is so helpful because it's like the more we know about ourselves, including our past lives, the more personally empowered we can become in achieving our present life's goals. This is, again, Slate. And he talks about how interesting it is to note that repeated studies of effective teaching have shown that the more teachers know about their students, the more effective they are in guiding learning. It should come as no surprise that the more we know about ourselves, the more effective we are in accelerating our growth and developing our highest potential. Joseph Slate, Beyond Reincarnation.
Mm-hmm. Now, generally speaking, how many lifetimes does a person live, would you say?
You know, it's different for each soul because everyone comes in here for, you know, different purposes. So it's all individual. I really couldn't even tell you.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know I had one guest at a time, and this particular guest said it could be anywhere between 700 and 800 lifetimes. Do you think that's possible?
I think anything's possible. I mean, we're metaphysically speaking, right?
Right. Well, hopefully anyway. If we're not, we're in trouble. So it really is just, you can't determine that, right?
No, you cannot, because each soul comes in, you know, and I've even read stories of where a baby decided not to be born, and, you know, that would count as an experience. They went through maybe just part of the gestational period, but there's just, each soul wants a different experience, so it's all personal choice.
Right, and that gets to the pre-birth planning stage where mm-hmm. a soul knows what situation is best for them for any particular lifetime?
Yes, that's before we come in, we have these contracts that we make with people. So, you know, you come in, you go, you talk with the council or your guides or, you know, whoever it is, and, you know, they help you. I mean, some people, if you think about it, there's people in this lifetime who've taken on so much stuff. Can you imagine on the other side, we don't have that veil on. So they probably were trying to take on even more things. So their guides and the council help them decide what to take on and what not. And they'll, it's, of course, again, it's all free will and choice, but that's why we have the guides and, you know, the council to say, hey, wait a minute, do you realize that you're going to be in a physical body, you have time, you have linear time, you have all these things, so are you sure you want to do all these things? Oh, yeah, you know, and then you were on the other side without the veil and all that, and we're like, oh, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So do you think a person has a choice as to what they're going to do and who they're going to be with during a certain lifetime?
Definitely. I think everyone, what I've read is we all have a definite outline, and then you can, you know, basically fill in the blanks when you get here. Like in this lifetime, you know, it was maybe a choice whether to have a child. But on, you know, on the other side, it was kind of like a loose blueprint. You have, definitely you have things that you come in here to do, but there's other things that are like a possibility, if that makes sense.
Right. Well, it makes sense to me anyway. Now, when does a soul actually enter a body, do you think?
What I've read and what I sense is that it hoovers around its body. I've read this. Babies hoover around the mother or, you know, on the father before they get here, maybe even up to 6 months prior to. And I think what I've read is they start entering the body maybe within, you know, a week or so of being born.
Mm-hmm. So when they know an actual birth is going to take place, that's when they enter the body?
Yeah, I think, I think it's a little bit before birth. I would say a few days. But, you know, again, I you can never really know for sure. Each person and soul has their own, you know, decisions that they decide when to come into.
Mm-hmm. And I just want to remind everybody that you're listening to Metaphysically Speaking, and this is WHFR.FM, the station making waves. I'm the host of Metaphysically Speaking, Mike Holloway. My special guest today is Heather Williams. She is a certified hypnotist, and right now we're talking about past life regression. Now, when a person comes into a certain situation, perhaps they have some disability, they face some special challenge, that is something that they have decided to go through?
Absolutely. That's another thing that I've, you know, researched. Yes, they have decided to do that for their soul's growth.
Mm-hmm. They just feel they need to do that in order to grow and progress as a soul?
Yeah, and whatever their choice of, you know, lesson is. So yes, I totally agree with that. I've read it. I've researched it.
Mm-hmm. So if a person is, I don't know, maybe has some type of terrible disease, they're just supposed to learn from it?
Well, I think some of them, yes. And then again, with our thoughts, we create our reality, correct?
I think so, anyway.
So some people, with their thinking, they can cause themselves to have a disease as well. But something, I think some things we do come in here is the word predisposed?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sometimes, anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But if a person goes through a terrible accident, they foresee that, they know it's going to happen, but they want to experience it anyway?
Sometimes. And then again, your thoughts can also create that. You can be vibrating at the same level as another person and then cause that collision. So it's, you know, some of them are, you know, predetermined, and some of them are, you know, you're creating right now.
Right. Well, how much do we have as far as free will goes, do you think?
Well, something called karma is, there's three different types of karma. And Hazel Denning talks about this in her book, Life Without Guilt. And the first is the karma we've accumulated through centuries from our entire past lives. The second is the karma we're working on now that resulted from the past. And the third is the karma we're creating now that determines our future.
Uh-huh. Which has the greatest pull, so to speak?
You know, honestly, I think it's a combination of all three. I don't really, you know, I can't really say, because each person's learning on their own. So mm-hmm. their lessons are, you know, all individual.
Right. So if in the pre-birth stage they think they're going to experience something, once they actually arrive here, they can change things as they go along?
Yes. Yes, that's the loose blueprint. I mean, there are certain things that they have predetermined that are absolutely going to happen from what I've researched and read, but there are certain things that just have to have to happen. And then there's also things that can be, you know, kind of like you can fork off in another direction. You know, let's say maybe you decided you wanted to, you know, have a single life and be a, you know, and not have a marriage. I mean, there's just so many things there's so many variables.
Mm-hmm. Now, also, doesn't it happen where it's interchangeable? Maybe you're a male one lifetime, you could be a female the next lifetime, something like that?
Oh, definitely. If anybody's experienced past lives, you know, more than once. I know for myself, a lot of the ones that I've been shown, I've been a female, but I've seen a few male lifetimes as well. So yes, there's just so much, you know, everybody has the male, you have to balance the male and the female aspects. So yeah, you can definitely be a male and definitely, you know, a female.
Right. Well, there again, it could be different races, religion, all types of different things, all types of variables are involved in that, correct?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Again, it's just a personal choice on what they feel is best for their own soul?
Yes, what they feel is best for their soul's growth. They decide, well, I need to have this experience. Basically, we just come in for the experience.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you think it's possible for a human soul to reincarnate as an animal at all?
You know, I'm pretty open to a lot of things. I would say that it's possible. I really don't know anybody that's experienced it offhand, but I don't discount anything. I mean, anything's possible. Sky's the limit.
Mm-hmm. So it's possible somebody could come back and say a dolphin or something like that?
You know, it's possible.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've had pet people on this show, and they say that they've talked to pets that have been humans at one time, so I don't know. I thought that it really wasn't possible myself.
You know, I haven't read that much about it, and I don't really know that much about it. But, like, I'd say within this universe, anything's possible.
Mm-hmm. Right, well, up to a point. Men still can't get pregnant, as far as I know.
I've read something about that, but then again...
Well, I think that was a hoax, wasn't it?
It might have been.
Right, well, you never know.
Mm-hmm.
The way people evolve, you just never know.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my question is, you only start off with a certain number of people here on Earth, and yet it seems like every year the population increases. Where do all these souls come from?
Well, from what I understand is Earth is the stopping ground where there's the mixing bowl. You've got all different souls from different galaxies that have come here because Earth is the hardest and densest school. It really is. And this is where we can grow. I have a friend that actually was told all the healing work she's doing in this lifetime here on Earth is considered 300 lifetimes. So different souls come here to grow and accelerate the fastest. But you get different people from different solar systems. I know people from Sirius that are here. I know just other other, you know, solar systems. So there are just so many different possibilities.
Mm-hmm. Are these beings, I don't know, more highly evolved than the rest of us?
Some of them, yes. They are, their healing work is just, what they do is, like, there's not a lot of people that are doing what they're doing. But yeah, I would say that they're more highly evolved.
Mm-hmm. Again, do we go to a different, perhaps, solar system, and maybe we're more highly evolved over there than we come back to Earth to learn more?
I think there's different aspects of us in different, like, parallel universes and things like that. So, you know, you've got different parts and pieces of yourself all over the place. But, you know, you come back, we're all physically here.
Well... Some of us are. Mentally, I guess, is the problem, right?
Yeah, because, I mean, you've got pieces and parts of you that are, you know, spiritually or mentally in, you know, other dimensions and other spaces. So we're always kind of floating around.
Mm-hmm. I guess floating here to Earth eventually, is that it?
Well, from what I understand and what a lot of people are probably familiar with is we'll be, you know, we are currently ascending, so... you know, we come here and just eventually we'll be moving on to the next level.
Mm-hmm. But this is kind of a lower level type learning experience?
Yeah, this is very dense. This is very hard for a lot of souls, but it's the quickest way to learn the most.
Mm-hmm. So like you said with your friend, even though, I don't know, perhaps we live a certain amount of years here on Earth, we learn quite a bit and we progress quite a bit during the time we're here?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yep. If you notice, there's a lot of people that are exiting, a lot of people that are, you know, passing, and they're going on to learn their soul's lesson on other places. You know, it could even be another parallel third dimension.
Mm-hmm. When a person dies, do you feel that's because they've learned what it is they're supposed to during this lifetime?
A lot of it, yeah, because you hear all the good ones are gone. I mean, they've basically done what they're supposed to do, unless it was some, you know, somebody murdered them or anything like that. But then again,
right,
that still plays into their soul's lesson was, you know, they learned everything that they were supposed to, and then they move on to the next, you know, area of, you know, heaven or wherever it is that they're supposed to be going.
Right, but I have read that sometimes that is something that shortchanges people in that perhaps they were murdered during a lifetime and they still have to come back because they have something else to learn.
Yeah, that's possible too. That's very possible.
Well, I've read that people go through wars and perhaps they're killed in battle, and then they have to reincarnate in order to really fulfill their own personal prophecy. Have you heard of that?
Yeah, it's kind of like their last dying thoughts. If they have anything negative, or I'll get them, or if they feel guilt or whatever, they're gonna want to come back here and fix what it is. That's why they choose maybe a harsher life, or they choose the certain specific lessons that they're choosing.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you work with people, has anybody ever been afraid that they're going to be hypnotized and not be able to come back, and that they'll be stuck in, say, the Civil War, and they'll start churning their own butter or something and dressing, during that time era, the same type of clothing? Has anybody expressed that fear?
Where they don't want to come back?
Well, no, that they are afraid they'll actually get stuck. Once they're hypnotized, they will not be able to come back to the present moment.
Oh, yeah, but you know what? That's when you just educate them on, how hypnosis works. Actually, there's something called hypnoproduction, where a subject during hypnosis occasionally experiences a spontaneous phenomenon called hypnoproduction, in which they demonstrated remarkable complex skills which they had not acquired in their present lifetime. So, actually, there's something that I was hoping to, before this lifetime ends, is work on, is bringing back your gifts from other lifetimes. I would really like to hone in on my artistry. I know I was an artist in another lifetime, but yeah, if you are able to access those specific files, you can help that person. There's been people who've even started speaking other languages. I read a story, a gentleman had to absolutely go to this country, had never been there. He's on this bus tour. And he knew when they were turning, he knew everything about this particular country. Well, when they got to this specific spot, he started getting this memory, and he's like, this memory of this specific spot. Well, come to find out, in another lifetime, he was a bar owner on this specific piece of property, and they looked it up, and it was all legitimate.
Mm-hmm. So they can look back. I mean, people know names and dates, and they can go back and check this.
Oh, yeah. There's one of my favorite books is called The Search for Grace by Dr. Bruce Goldberg, and it was actually made into a CBS movie of the week. It's a true story of murder and reincarnation, and it's the best documented case of reincarnation there is.
Mm-hmm. And again, they have the dates and names and all that good stuff?
Yeah, actually in the book, there's newspaper clippings. And, what had happened is this woman came to him because she wanted to get over an ex-boyfriend who was very, very bad for her. I mean, this person was trying to kill her, everything. And he regressed her about 45 times. And in 26 of those lifetimes, this particular person had killed her. So each time...
That's a lot.
Yeah, yeah. So each time that he would regress her, she was able to release him more and more, and finally get him out of her cellular memory and get on with her life.
Mm-hmm. And if people are having problems during this lifetime by going back and reliving past lives, does that help them overcome problems in this lifetime?
Oh, yeah. Our past life experiences remain forever with us for a purpose. But rather than being automatically available to us at the beginning of each lifetime, they can challenge us to retrieve them and discover their relevance for ourselves. And again, I refer back to that Joseph Slate, Beyond Reincarnation, because it's such good information. And, it just is so helpful for so many people.
Mm-hmm. Now, I've heard also that sometimes you reincarnate with other people that you've known in past lives, whether it be family members, friends, whatever the case may be, even enemies, in order to learn even more during certain lifetimes?
Oh, yeah. It'd be kind of like your soul group. It's interesting because what I've heard is on the other side, the person that you come in with the most hardships or whatnot is one of your best soul friends on the other side. So if you have a person that's just a real, thorn in your side, or somebody that's just really, really negative, or has done some really negative things to you, that you chose that person on the other side in your contract to help you grow and accelerate the most, but you're like really good friends over there.
Mm-hmm. So again, this is all a learning experience, something that's going to help you grow as an individual?
Yeah, it's kind of like every time we come into a new lifetime, we're in a theater and we play different parts.
Mm-hmm. So it's conceivable that perhaps in one lifetime you might be somebody's son, but then it transfers the next lifetime you're actually that person's parent instead?
Oh, yeah. My daughter has been my aunt and, a sister. So it's everybody has just different people that they need for the different lessons. So, it's kind of like probably volunteering. Oh, I'll do that. I'll help you with that.
Mm-hmm. And just to remind everybody very quickly, you're listening to WHFR.FM, the station making waves. This is Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway. My special guest today is Heather Williams. She's a certified hypnotist, and we're talking about past life regression right now. Something I'd like to know about, you mentioned you have a daughter. Do you have other children as well?
No, just the one daughter.
Mm-hmm. So how does your family feel about this?
Past life regression?
Yes. I mean, do they accept that?
Well, I'll tell you an interesting story. I was so excited when I was learning how to do the past life regression. I asked my daughter, and at the time she was, I think she was 9 or 10, and I said, let me put you into a hypnotic state. And she loves hypnosis. It helps her relax and stuff. So she was like, okay. So so I was doing what I thought was a past life regression. Well, actually, it was a future life regression, and she was telling me she was telepathically speaking to animals. She had walked through this doorway, and she was helping them and, telepathically, speaking to them. And it was, she saw herself older. I want to say it was like the year 2014. So, yeah, it was quite interesting.
So you can see yourself in the future as well?
You can, and I don't generally do that because it's almost can be like a paradox. You don't want to, change anything like that. So I generally stay away from that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, that's interesting that you can actually see yourself in the future as well. Also, you can tell what's going to happen further on in your lifetime. You have visions like that?
I don't personally, but it is possible. I know there's an author, Brian Weiss. I'm sure many people have heard of him.
Oh, yes, I've read him.
Yeah, he does those as well. I think Dr. Bruce Goldberg, he does that as well, but I generally don't.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, generally speaking, too, if somebody comes to you, what's the process? I mean, how do you start with that person?
Well, I generally give them important facts and misconceptions about hypnosis, so they kind of have an idea, because there's a lot of people who've never experienced hypnosis, and I want them to be educated so that they're not nervous and they have a positive experience. So I find that when you educate people, it's more helpful in their sessions to be, more successful, to help them, achieve the goals that they want to achieve, whatever it is, past life, regression therapy, whatever. So I educate them, tell them what to expect. Generally, after that, sometimes if they want to, I'll teach them self-hypnosis, which is a tool anybody can use throughout their whole lifetime. It takes probably 3 minutes to learn. And then I play music. I have them, I explain to them. I have them listen to the music for about 5 minutes. And some people, you can kind of tell, need a longer, what we call induction. They need, like, the music played a little bit longer, or, the actual script we use, the words and the suggestions. They need a longer, relaxed, induction. So I'll do that, because then that way that can bypass their conscious mind of all the analytical thinking, because with hypnosis you're generally bypassing your conscious mind and working directly with your subconscious mind at a heightened state of relaxation, heightened awareness, and hypersuggestibility. So you want them to be relaxed enough to get the full effect of the session.
Right, so everybody's different in how they can be hypnotized. Some people are more susceptible to that than others?
Well, there's only four types of people that can't be hypnotized. People that think they can't, mentally challenged people, small children with short attention spans, and those under the influence of alcohol. So if it kind of goes along with what the mind agrees with, the body responds to.
Mm-hmm. But again, it's more of just a natural extension of being very relaxed and just letting things go and letting things come to you, meaning the person that's being hypnotized?
It is. I mean, if you're ever driving on the freeway from point A to point B and you miss your exit, that's waking hypnosis. That's one form. Another form is if your parents ever told you a story growing up, that is one of the purest forms of hypnosis that there is.
Mm-hmm. Because it relaxes you and takes you to a different place?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So basically, it's getting your mind off of something and onto something else. Is that it?
It's relaxing your mind, and you're giving these people, when you're relaxing them, the suggestions on how to relax, and you're just taking them to a place that they can actually, you know, comfortably be, so that they're not all worried about how their hair looks, how they're sitting in the chair.
Right.
You know, none of that. You know, do I, you know, how do I fold my hands? You get them relaxed so that, I mean, it's funny because I've had a lot of success with this. I get people that end up, they get so relaxed, they fall asleep. But that's okay, because everything, your subconscious never sleeps. It always is awake. You might be sleeping consciously. That's like those people, those doctors that operate. I've heard of people that have been in the operating room that remember everything that the doctor said.
Mm-hmm. Just because they were actually hypnotized instead of drugged?
No, their conscious mind was not sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
It was awake, and they knew everything that doctors said.
Really?
Which they need to watch what they say.
Right, good and bad. I've heard that where, you know, they've said that, well, this person's not going to make it. They remember hearing stuff like that.
Right, and, you know, again, that goes along with your thoughts, what you're saying to that person. That's why it's so important to stay in a state of uplifting, positive thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, with hypnosis, we can help change your mind tape.
Right. So, again, it just depends on what a person needs. Perhaps you might have to change the script in order for that to work with certain people?
Well, the mind doesn't know the difference between fantasy and reality. So if you have a traumatic experience and you're able to help them, one of the techniques we use is reframing. You help them reframe that same situation. You can actually take them to that, you know, if they had a traumatic experience. And then what we can do in, you know, with one technique with the reframing is take them to that experience, and you tell them you're only going to experience it, you know, for a couple seconds. You know, I can snap my fingers or say, you know, count to three, and then you'll play it backwards, and it becomes less and less charged, and you help them, you know, work through that.
Mm-hmm. It just depends then on each individual then, right?
Yes, everybody's different.
Mm-hmm. So you've worked with your daughter. Have you worked with other members of your family?
Yeah, you know, I worked with my mom. I've worked with so many different people. I mean, with, you know, anybody who is a friend of mine that's open to it, you know, I would, you know, I like to, you know, practice with them, you know, but I also, working with, you know, clients and things like that. So I think the more you do something, the more effective you are. So, I mean, and it helps them too, you know.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, it helps them get over certain things that they're going through during this lifetime, correct?
Yeah. You know, past life knowledge has therapeutic value. It's one of the most powerful healing and rejuvenating agents known.
Mm-hmm. Now, have you done self-hypnosis on yourself?
Yes. Actually, I do that when I go into a hypnotic state. Self-hypnosis, you can use that for studying and test-taking. I worked with somebody who was taking a bar exam. It was a doctor, and they saw me for two sessions, and they passed the bar exam by using hypnosis. And basically, when you're using it in studying or test-taking, you're getting more oxygen to your brain, because when you're nervous, think about it, everything tenses up, you can't concentrate, and the blood vessels constrict. But if you're using self-hypnosis techniques, which, like I said, it takes 3 minutes, and it's a tool you can use for the rest of your life. The thing that people don't realize, hypnosis can be used in over 300 areas of your life.
300 areas? What do you mean by that?
Well, I mean, I know it can be used to help you relax. It can be helpful in, you know, people that have nervous habits. It can be helpful. There was a woman, she's in California. She was in the Who's Who book, and she actually was always encouraged to use hypnosis. I think her name was Stephanie Johnson. She's a practicing hypnotherapist, you know, PhD and all that. Well, she actually cut her finger off, and this was on 2020, back in like 1978. And by using hypnosis, she helped regenerate part of her finger to grow back. And she also straightened her teeth.
Straightened her teeth?
Yeah.
That's going to put some dentist out of business, isn't it?
Not necessarily. You can go hand in hand. There's a program, Hypnodontics. Mm-hmm. Actually, the American Dental Association endorses hypnosis, American Medical Association. The British Medical Association and the American Psychological Association all approve and endorse the hypnotherapy.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know law enforcement people have used it as well to ascertain certain facts from different people, that kind of thing too, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Now, this is something that you do full-time, or is this something part-time right now? How's that working out for you?
No, this is something that I do part-time. You know, it's something that I find very valuable. I put that intention out there that, you know, eventually one day more people will embrace hypnosis. And, you know, I think education is the key, though.
Mm-hmm. Now, how often do you perform self-hypnosis on yourself? Is that a daily thing or just when you feel you need it?
No, I mean, I could probably benefit from using it more, but I generally will use it when I'm going into a hypnotic past life regression, or if I'm stressing about something.
Mm-hmm. And how do you think it's helped you the most?
Well, it relaxes you because you know how they always tell you, breathe, breathe. It's part of breathing, you know. It's just relaxing yourself and, you know, breathing. I mean, there's a couple of little steps that you do to, you know, finish it, but it's just basically breathing and relaxing.
Mm-hmm. Well, I also see by some of the material that I saw on your website that also helps with things like sports performance, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. The same thing being that people are breathing and they're getting more oxygen to their brain, et cetera, et cetera.
Yes, and you know, the key is visualization. You know, some people, it's real easy for them to visualize, so why not just use it?
Mm-hmm. Now, do you find that in most people it's effective? I mean, it probably doesn't work with everybody, does it?
People that are open to it have a better chance of being, you know, hypnotized. People that are closed off to it or don't think that they can't, mm-hmm, won't, you know, they won't be as effective.
Uh-huh. As receptive or
right,
whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So if somebody comes to you with a phobia, do you say, well, I can work with you in overcoming that?
Well, I can work with them. It all depends on them. How willing are they to, you know, let go of that? You know, the more strong-willed, intelligent, and imaginative an individual is, the better the subject they are. So how open are they to, you know, letting that go?
Mm-hmm. Now, generally speaking, how long does each session last?
My sessions generally last an hour.
Mm-hmm.
The first session we do an intake, and that's just to get an idea of where we're at, why you're coming to do a hypnotherapy session, and those can even be done on the phone if people are pressed for time. But generally, the session lasts about an hour, and I'm not one of those people that looks at my watch. I a lot of times will go over because I think sometimes you need a few extra minutes because you're still working through an issue.
Mm-hmm. So you just let that person more or less dictate the length of time and how the session goes?
Well, I generally try to stay on a time frame. But if we're running a few minutes over, I'm not going to stop the session because, oh, it's 1 hour. If, sometimes it can run over, 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you tape all these different sessions?
No, I generally don't tape them because I really don't want somebody to take it home and attempt to do hypnosis on someone else.
Mm-hmm. Well, I just mean as far as whatever they glean from a past life experience, you don't feel you need to provide that information necessarily?
What I do is I write everything down for them.
Okay. So you're pretty good at taking notes, are you?
Yes.
Okay. That's important.
Mm-hmm.
So now, when you do a session, how much does it cost?
My sessions are $85.
Mm-hmm. Is that, that's for the first hour, right? Or for
yeah,
the hour?
Yeah, it's $85 per session.
Mm-hmm. Now, generally, how long do you work with a person? Is it something that they need to keep coming back, or is it something that might just be a one-shot deal, or what?
It's all different. It depends on what they're coming for. Generally, past lives are one session, but if they're really wanting to like clear something out, it could turn into a couple sessions. It all depends on the individual and how much they're willing to clear out and how much they're able to clear out. If you're you know, working with somebody that is coming in for an anxiety, a fear, or a phobia, it could be as little as 2 sessions, and it could be as many as 12 sessions. It, you know, everyone's different.
Mm-hmm. Now, is that just like 1 session a week usually?
Well, you don't want to let the time lapse more than 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. So if you did even a session every other week, because what happens is you have this momentum going, and for this person, you know, if you haven't seen them in like 3-4 weeks, you kind of like, it's kind of like starting over and you lose that momentum.
Mm-hmm. And this is WHFR.FM, the station making waves. You're listening to Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway, and today my special guest is Heather Williams. She's a certified hypnotherapist, and we're talking about past life regressions, but now we're getting into some other areas of hypnosis. And you feel, though, that it's a very therapeutic tool?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it is extremely therapeutic because you're just... any past life knowledge, it can give you new direction and balance to your life, build your feelings of dignity and self-worth, and promote and accept an understanding of others.
Mm-hmm. So does it help you get along with others?
Well, if excuse me, if you have an issue with somebody in this lifetime and you aren't sure, you know, where it's coming from, you can actually look at that and see if you can't clear it out.
Mm-hmm. So it could be something to do with a past life. Perhaps they were an enemy or something in a past life?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. You can uncover so many different things. I mean, I've seen for myself a few different things. Somebody was my persecutor. They were my executionist.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I had somebody... I couldn't figure out why I didn't like this person. And it was because when you first meet somebody, have you ever like them or disliked them and had no rhyme or reason that was logical?
Mm-hmm. Well, many times.
Well, a lot of times what that can be is cellular memory, which we all hold. Our cells all have the memory from, you know, different people and interactions, and that's where the past life and the just hypnotherapy comes into play, is you can clear that out.
Mm-hmm. So when they say love at first sight, that's the reason being perhaps you loved that person in a previous life?
It very well could be.
Mm-hmm. But not necessarily, right?
No.
Right. Now, when you do these hypnosis sessions, what do you do to prepare for them?
Well, that's why generally I like to talk to them on the phone a little bit. You know, I will educate them on the phone and then I'll re-educate them. But I like to find out what it is that they're wanting to come in for the session for. If it has to do with past life, you know, what are you wanting to clear? What do you want to look at? You know, and I tell them, I said, I cannot promise you that we'll uncover that. But I said, we will, you know, work on uncovering it, because you might have to change gears right in the middle of the session. They might be completely off in another arena and you have to just kind of go with it. Mm-hmm. You have to be able to think on your feet, and you know, it could be something very traumatic where it's not even related to what they came in for. But what I try to do is, it's kind of like putting a recipe together. It's like, well, I get an idea of what they want to work on, and then I'll, you know, intuitively get into my head, okay, we're going to, you know, do a little bit of inner child healing. We're going to do a little bit of this process here. We're going to do some, you know, other healing and things like that. So that's why you want to talk to somebody, you know, see what they want, and, you know, put something together for them specifically, you know, tailor it to what they're, you know, wanting to clear out or just explore.
Mm-hmm. So if somebody comes to you, they want to lose weight or stop smoking, something like that, does it happen where they have a spontaneous vision or whatever, perhaps why they're doing it this lifetime based on a previous lifetime?
It can, actually. I had a specific lifetime where I was I was a servant girl, and they were, like, starving me. I wasn't getting any food. But, yeah, it can be a past life. They could get a vision of, you know, something. You know, each person experiences everything so differently, so it's, you know, there's just so many different variables.
Right, but they're not necessarily coming to you for past life regression. It just happens on its own.
Yeah, sometimes it does. Sometimes it does.
Mm-hmm. So you've had that happen to you before?
Yeah. I had people come in for weight, and they were, you know, come to find out in, you know, another lifetime, their last dying thoughts were, well, I'm not going to starve. So they're overweight in this lifetime.
Mm-hmm. Now, when a person goes through a regression, do they ascertain what they came to learn in each particular lifetime that they regressed to?
You mean, do they consciously remember everything?
Right. Do they remember what their lesson was that they were supposed to learn that lifetime?
Some do, some don't. And what happens is sometimes it'll come to them, like when they are having a hard time remembering, what I will do, and this seems to be pretty good, effectively, is I'll have them go and meet their guides or whoever and ask the questions that they need to ask at this time, what is right for them to know at this time. Because I've had experiences where somebody wanted to know something so badly, and they were told, it is not time for you to know that. So mm-hmm. If they're to know, they will. But again, sometimes stuff comes out right there. Sometimes stuff comes out through dreams later on the next, you know, night or so. So everybody's different. They all experience different things.
Mm-hmm. Has that happened to you where you've gotten dreams that help explain things?
You know, I never remember my dreams.
Really?
No.
Never, ever, never?
No, I have a lot of nightmares, so I do not. I wake myself up a lot, and I don't remember them.
Well, I guess that's good if you have nightmares. That's not something you want to remember.
Maybe I should look at a hypnotherapist.
Yeah, there you go. Well, you've worked with actual hypnotherapists yourself, right, just to experience that?
Yeah. I've actually worked on some personal issues myself and cleared out some things myself. So, yes, it's kind of like when a therapist just goes and sees another therapist. We all need healing. We all need work. So why not?
Mm-hmm. Do you feel it's more effective doing that or doing it by yourself?
Well, you can't be the therapist and the client at the same time. You can play around maybe with past lives and things like that. Mm-hmm. But as far as some deep-seated core issues, I would definitely, you know, go see somebody else. I cannot clear them out myself.
Mm-hmm. So that does help to actually see somebody else that's an independent observer?
Yeah. You know, when you've got stuff in your subconscious that's just embedded, it's wise to go see somebody else who's, you know, trained so that they can help you work through that issue, because maybe you are not even consciously aware. And how can you fix it if you're not aware? Well, then they can tap into your, you know, your subconscious, because, you know, it's like your mind is like a computer where you've got corrupted programs. You've got stuff that needs to be updated. You've got files that are, you know, no longer necessary. So, you know, somebody can help you with that.
Mm-hmm. So sometimes ego gets in the way?
Well, that's why you put them into a relaxed state so their ego doesn't get in the way.
Mm-hmm. But that's fairly easy to do, right?
For some people it is. I've had a lot of success with, you know, again, if they're somebody that's a very analytical thinker or somebody that just has a hard time relaxing, you just use a longer induction, you know, because mm-hmm. a lot of people, they can't, you know, get into that relaxed state right away because they're fearful of, oh my gosh, are they going to take my mind over? That's why education is the key. So you just relax them. That's the whole thing, relaxing.
Right. Well, again, I know some people are afraid to get hypnotized because they feel that they will no longer have control over themselves and they'll be told what to do and what to think, and they'll act on those.
Right. There's, you know, no secrets come out, you know. It's basically like, have you ever seen a stage hypnotist? They get those people out of the audience, and what they do is they look for people who are go into a natural somnambulistic state. They, you know, go out by, you know, on the count of 3, 1, 2, 3. They're there to have fun. They're open to the suggestion, so they're not going to do anything that they're, you know, is against their moral value or belief system.
Mm-hmm. But yet I've seen those type of stage acts, and they'll have people eating onions thinking they're apples or something like that. How is that possible?
Because those people are the natural somnambulists that they look to work with. 1 in 10 people naturally falls into that, and the only way they're going to remember it is if it's a suggestion that's given, you know, to them. But if you're open to that suggestion, then you're going to do it. You're not going to do anything against your, you know, moral values or belief system.
Right.
You just won't.
Yeah, so that does play a part, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Now, generally speaking, do you think that people learn quite a bit going through hypnosis?
They can really learn a lot about themselves, yes.
Mm-hmm. And just about, I don't know, perhaps metaphysical things, do they attain that type of information as well?
They can. I mean, you can specifically, there's no guarantees on anything, but, you know, if they're really wanting to look into something, you can, you know, guide them, and you ask, you know, it's kind of like you're wearing a blindfold and just asking these questions. But yeah, you can uncover so many different things.
Mm-hmm. Has there ever been a time when you've been really, really surprised by somebody's information that they've divulged?
Yes.
Really? And what do you do?
Well, you just kind of go with it. I had somebody that actually started talking in another language and was channeling one of their guides.
Wow.
And I was a little bit freaked out, but before we had set the space for the session, so I had asked their guides and all my guides to come in and just to, you know, definitely put a protection circle around us, because this person was a psychic, and what had happened is they just started channeling this information. They wanted to ask themselves some questions, which is a higher self technique that, you know, that I use, where if you want to know specific things, you know, give me the questions and we'll connect your, you know, your higher self to your, you know,
right,
all that. And it was a little freaky because it was not her voice. Her arms started twitching, and I'm like, and I just took a deep breath, and I just went with it and wrote down what I could write down and asked questions. And it was kind of like the horse's mouth. You got the information.
Mm-hmm. Now, how can people get in touch with you if they want to either go through hypnosis to try to stop smoking or past life regression or whatever the case may be?
They can go to my website, and the website is www.hypnosiswithheather.com. They can also reach me at 586-453-6255.
Mm-hmm. And do you have any classes, anything like that coming up?
You know, actually, I have a past life group regression class October 25th. It's a Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. It's in Clinton Township, and if people are interested, they can either call me, or they can email me, which my email is on the website as well.
Mm-hmm. So that is how they can get in touch with you, right?
Yes.
Okay. Well, Heather, thank you very much for doing the show. I really appreciate it. It's been very interesting. And who knows, maybe you'll get a few customers. Anyway, it was very interesting. Thank you for being on the show today.
Thank you.
Well, that's going to do it for another edition of Metaphysically Speaking. I hope you enjoyed the show. Once again, I want to thank Heather for doing the show. I really appreciate the fact that she could come in and do it. And be sure to come back next month. We'll be back on the 15th of November with another edition of Metaphysically Speaking. This is Mike Holloway. Once again, thank you for listening and have a great day.
Listening to WHFR Dearborn. We're bringing you non-commercial radio from Henry Ford Community College. Good morning on this beautiful fall morning as we head into the afternoon. My name is Bill Keith. It's a pleasure to be here with you. It's time for Light from the Underground. Thought I'd get things going with some brand new music. This is from Old Crow Medicine Show. They've got a new album out called Tennessee Pusher. This was produced by former Detroit resident Don Was. Remember him from Was Not Was? Well, he helped out with their new album, and I thought I'd give you a little sample. This is called Highway Halo on 89.3 WHFR.FM. We're making waves.